Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry here with Carmen Vitale. Thank you for spending your Saturday afternoon with Carmen and me. Happy NFL Draft Day 3. Woo-hoo. We're currently in the 5th round, and you guys remember, don't sleep on these late round picks.
Yeah.
Because what? We had the GOAT, Tom Brady, who was a 6th round pick. As Carmen just reminded me, he won't let you ever forget that.
He won't let you ever forget it. Pick number 199, baby.
Here we go. Brock Purdy, very last in the draft. Who,
Mr.
Like,
irrelevant, in quotation marks, yeah, not so irrelevant after all.
We can't call that Mr. Irrelevant anymore after that.
No,
but what an emotional couple of days, right? I love seeing these big men cry, especially in the first couple of rounds, going on stage, picking up Roger Goodell and just kind of swinging him around. Like, it's just...
Or you get the guys that are completely stone faced in like the second and third rounds who thought they were should be taken
they're
in the
pissed.
First.
Yeah,
and like they're all pissed. And like their families try to like pipe them up and they're just
they're
like, completely
no,
like, no.
I didn't go where I wanted to go, so now I'm upset. It's
right.
Like, bro,
you were
prove
so,
yourself.
You were
fine.
You were drafted. You were drafted.
You're there's in some, the NFL. Like you were drafted into the NFL.
Yeah.
Now prove it. I get it because it's like...
Use all the motivation you can get.
What, signing bonus isn't going to be as big each round that you go down. So, like, I kind of understand that. But just like...
But if you ball out, then you don't have that fifth year option on the table. And if you're not in the first round, so then
linings.
You can get paid earlier.
Silver linings.
Just betting on yourself.
And it's like, come on. Like, appreciate the moment. It's your entire life's work and dreams coming true in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know. We've got some great guests for you guys today.
Sure
we got
do.
NFL writer Nick Shook joining us in 30 minutes to talk all things draft. We have Lions reporter Danny Rogers joining us live from Detroit in hour two. We have producer Bro Benson with us today, technical producer Chris Perfett, Martin Wise at the news desk. We are broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buyers should be.
And Thoroughbred Racing has a new independent regulator, HISA, that is implementing comprehensive reforms, and the sport is combining hands-on care with cutting-edge technology to help keep its athletes safe. To learn more, visit safetyrunsfirst.com, safetyrunsfirst.com.
Have you been to the horse races out here yet?
I haven't yet.
Okay.
Actually, it's weird enough. We lived here when I was like 6.
Oh.
And
fun.
We used to live right by the Santa Anita racetrack.
Oh, okay.
So as a child.
It's a time.
I've been to Santa Anita.
Okay, so we should go back.
Yeah. I remember placing a bet, again, in quotation marks, like going up to the little window with my dad and being like, I think this horse is going to win.
I mean, that's all I feel anyway. I'm like, what is the coolest name?
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to go for.
Yeah.
All right. Well, back to the draft, you guys, because let's be honest, Detroit nailed the vibe. Day one draft attendance was a record. More than 275,000 people were there for day one. The previous record was 200,000 in Nashville in 2018. They had legends come out. They had Eminem. They had Megatron. They had Barry Sanders.
And current guys, too. You had Aidan Hutchinson. You had Amon-Ra St. Brown fresh off that contract.
Yep.
You had Jared Goff, the entire crowd.
Who's
started,
like still like figuring out the contract situation.
Oh, he'll be due after this season. But it was really funny because Amon-Ra St. Brown got up there and started the Jared Goff chant.
Yeah.
I also happen to think, I mean, all those guys looked like they were 2, 3, 4 shots in. Love and it. I love it for them.
As they should
quite
be.
Honestly. Love
it's a party. Day two, they had the national champs, Michigan football team, walk up to the stage with the trophy, which minus J.J. McCarthy, because he was like already at his destination, which is okay. But let's start the show with the biggest WTF surprises in the draft. And I think everybody had this same reaction. The Atlanta Falcons taking Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick. But Penix being a top quarterback isn't the WTF surprise. It's the fact that the Falcons just signed and paid Kirk Cousins a 4-year, $180 million contract with $100 million guaranteed. So you would think if they're in that win now Super Bowl mentality or bust, they would go out and maybe get him some weapons. But once the initial, I think, kind of that shock wore off and you start to really think about it, I don't have a problem with Atlanta stocking up on the most important position in the league, especially with how stacked this draft class was. Kirk Cousins is coming off a major injury. This is insurance for their future. What I do find weird was all the conversation that they said, hey, we're going to tell Kirk Cousins if we decide to draft a quarterback. And then word came out that that didn't happen.
No, he was got not a call when they were on the clock about to make the pick.
Yeah, so you already have a little bit of miscommunication, possible awkwardness with Kirk on a new team, in a new city, and knowing that he is immediately training his replacement.
I don't like anything about this. I don't like it from a team building standpoint. I think it's irresponsible to, if you are in win now mode, which again, you look like you are, especially given how weak the NFC South is supposed to be. You have a chance at the field, even with the NFC in general. Why you go out and get the $180 million quarterback and then you don't help him out with the first overall pick? Your best case scenario, and what Terry Fontenot said, was that we're cool if he doesn't play for the next 4 or 5 years. So you're going to forego the biggest cheat code in the NFL, which is having a quarterback on a rookie deal, in favor of paying a quarterback, taking this guy, but not getting Kirk Cousins some help in the first round. And if you knew that you were going to draft a quarterback, or if there was a chance you were going to draft a quarterback, why in the world do you pay Kirk Cousins not only that $100 million guaranteed? $90 million of that guaranteed came when he signed on the dotted line.
Yeah.
Like, you are paying that. Like, that is insane for a quote-unquote bridge quarterback now, which is what Kirk Cousins has been, no matter how many years that bridge ends up being. I totally understand why Kirk is pissed.
Yeah.
Because why he's mad, because he said, I needed help.
Yeah.
I need help right now.
Yeah.
And then if you're Michael Penix Jr., I feel bad for him too, because he is not a developmental prospect like J.J. McCarthy, or everybody likes to compare the situation to Jordan Love and the Packers. First of all, Packers are the only ones that can get away with sitting a guy for 3 years at
Aaron
this point.
Rodgers.
And also, you had Aaron Rodgers for a long time. He started on a decline when you drafted Jordan Love. Now, he went and had 2 MVP seasons after that, but he was on a decline. Also, you don't have ownership pressures like you do everywhere else when you're Green Bay. So I don't like comparing those two situations. I don't like this for Michael Penix Jr. because he's an older quarterback prospect with injury issues as well. He would do well to play right away. And now you're going to let him sit and get cold and then what? Come into the league at 26 years old in a couple of years when you can get out of Kirk Cousins' contract? I don't like anything about this. I don't think this is smart team building at all. Now, if Kirk gets injured, then that makes sense.
And he is coming off a major injury.
So then why did you pay him? Why did you pay him?
Because they needed someone. They probably didn't know if they were going to be able to get a quarterback that they liked on the board with that 8th overall pick.
I get that. I just don't understand.
Again, they're not going to be. This was Raheem Morris's quote, not knowing if they're going to be able to pick this high again because of the guy that they got in Kirk Cousins.
Which, again,
so
makes it weird that you spent a top 10 pick on something that wasn't going to help you win now. Well, if you think you're going to be good.
They said Kirk is our quarterback, but adding Michael Penix is thinking about
so
our
weird.
Future.
It's
so
weird.
Again, like, it doesn't, the initial shock was like, wait, why? WTF? Like,
you just
got this. But the silver lining in all of this, like, it could be good for his development. You never know how a rookie quarterback is going to do that first year in the league. And he's not being asked to be a savior like Caleb, Jaden, Drake May, JJ, and Bo Nix are, right? He is going to be sitting behind a veteran quarterback who is well-liked in this league and who has had success. Now, again, the awkward part is Kirk was not aware of this, and he is in a new situation, a new locker room, on a new team. But the good news, we all know Kirk is a great guy. Like, if you've personally worked with him, but for all of us, we got to see kind of behind the curtain on the quarterback series. And I think everyone really fell in love with Kirk there. And then we heard from Penix recently, who shared that he actually had a conversation with Kirk.
I'm going to keep it, you know, just between me and him right now, you know, but it was definitely a good conversation. And, you know, I'm super excited to work with him. And he said he's the same with me, so.
I mean, he said what you have to say.
I was going
to
say, what?
Like, that's,
what,
like, that's all you can say in this moment.
I'm going to say this. I still do not like it. Also, now, say Kirk does struggle a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he is 36 coming off an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
Now you have a guy.
Is this his biggest injury he's ever recovered from?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the biggest injury you can recover from in the NFL.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know why we're treating it like there's a whole conversation for another time is who Kirk Cousins is as a quarterback and what you're going to get from him coming off an injury like this that we're kind of dismissing. But. Yeah.
So maybe Maybe that's what they saw. Maybe that's why in the back of their mind, we're like, okay, we have our guy.
But then you
we
don't,
have someone.
Then you don't
but we
spend
need
$100 million on Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, irresponsible
that's,
there.
Again,
but that's what Kirk gets. He always gets the biggest contracts. He has like an insane agent.
But you know that
and he's
was,
never been fully
Atlanta didn't have to pay Kirk Cousins.
What he's paid.
Atlanta didn't have to be the one to pay him.
But that's probably
Kirk
how they got
go
him.
Elsewhere.
That's how they got him.
That's what I'm saying.
But
though.
They needed someone, and I don't think they knew what they were going to do here.
At pick eight, I get that's a little out of whatever the top three conversation, but there are things that you can, if you need a quarterback at that point, go get a bridge. Also, they have Jacoby Brissett, don't they? And like, he is a bridge quarterback. You already have that. Also, I like him.
Yeah.
So I don't think this
was
responsible.
This is future.
The best case scenario is that Kirk does really, really well.
Yeah.
Then you've wasted Michael Penix Jr.'s contract. You've wasted his age. You've wasted a top 10 pick where you could have gotten Kirk better.
I don't think you're wasting him because all he's going to do is learn and develop
behind Kirk
Cousins.
You're wasting his contract.
And like, is it bad to like, that is the most important position in the league. And now you're like rich in that position. Like that's like the one
position. You can't play
position.
Two quarterbacks at the same time. That's the
no.
thing. Like, being rich at the wide receiver position is awesome because you can play multiple wide receivers and you can insure against injury. You cannot play multiple quarterbacks. And if you do, then there's a saying that I get from coaches all the time. If you have two quarterbacks, you have none. And that's so true because, like I said, if Kirk struggles, now you've got a guy on the bench that people are like, bring in Penix, bring in Penix, bring in Penix.
So you're saying they turn the locker room and it turns the fans against like the entire organization.
It creates a quarterback
staff.
Competition where there doesn't need to be one, which then makes these guys feel like they have to go out there and just sling it all the time. I watched this with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And it was so true. If you have two quarterbacks, you have none. I totally am on board with Kirk being pissed because you didn't do something to help the team right away. I would understand if Michael Penix Jr. was pissed because I don't think that this is a good situation for him. I think he needed to play now. And again, because he's older.
Yeah.
Also, he has injury issues. He's had multiple knee surgeries. So you're going to take a guy that
so
you're not
sure
about.
So then maybe that's good. He's getting a little extra time.
He's a year removed from both of those. So that's why he didn't run at Washington. He wasn't like he rushed eight times last year for Washington, which, okay, so he's now a year removed from that. You want to play. Also, if you're a top 10 pick, you want to play.
Of course he does. Every great player wants to do that.
I don't like anything about this. I don't like anything about it. You cannot change my mind. It's not good team building.
No, but it happened. So what I try to do is find the silver lining because you can't change it. What's done is done. It was a WTF moment. Every fan reaction, every media reaction. I thought one of the shocking moments in the top 10 was going to be a crazy trade up. We didn't get that. And then we had six quarterbacks taken in the top 12. Like, it was, there were so many things that like I thought might happen. I did not think, I don't think anybody had the Falcons taking a quarterback at number 8 on their bingo card.
Actually, Jonathan Jones did a week before from CBS Sports. He's a friend of mine. And I was like, did you really call that? He's like, called it a week ago. And I was like, that's...
Did he call Penix?
He called Penix to the Falcons at that pick. I think that maybe there was some insider knowledge there, which I guess, hey, listen to Jonathan Jones.
I mean, that's the only way.
We love JJ. I mean, the fact that... this is what we're talking about, and not the fact that Bo Nix is a top 12 pick is kind of wild also.
Okay, so you think that's a WTF moment, is Bo Nix being a top 12 pick?
Although,
I mean, he had the most college experience out of any quarterback projected this year. Yeah. 61 games.
Yeah.
But in his last season at Oregon, second in passing yards, most passing touchdown. He was a Heisman finalist.
His statue. He's not athletic enough when you're looking at this quarterback class. He doesn't really have an upside because you're right. He has played a lot. I think he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. And in any other quarterback class, especially when you're talking a couple like last, maybe not last year, 2 years ago, especially though, where you had one quarterback go in the first round.
Yeah.
You would see Bo Nix be a first round pick.
Yeah.
But he's the oldest quarterback in this class. So you know exactly what you're getting from him. I do not understand making him a top 12 pick, even later in the first round, would have been more. But at the same time, if you're surprised by this, then you don't know Sean Payton.
Yeah, he fits his offense like almost perfectly.
Also, Sean Payton is going to be bullish about anybody. And at this point, they weren't able to do the deal to trade up to get anybody else. So now
he needs a guy.
The post draft presser of Sean Payton saying like, you know, he said all the right things about after they met with Bo Nix, and he was like, oh, this is like that was nuts. Like, he's really got something. It's wild to me that he was the top 12.
But I mean, there's a lot of comps between Bo and Drew Brees, which obviously is Sean Payton's like bread and butter. If anybody can figure out how to make him successful,
he's moldable.
It's Sean Payton.
He's moldable, and that's Sean Payton's ego. That's why I say, if you were surprised by Sean Payton being the one to do this, then you don't know Sean Payton, because he does have the ego and he does want to mold these guys so that he can then take credit for.
Well, he needs to. He needs his guy. He also needs to prove, like, you made the right choice, Denver, picking me over Russell Wilson, that you just shipped out the door and are still paying his contract.
Yes.
So this is what he needs. But guys, we have so much more draft to talk about. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, why the Bears won the draft. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry here with Carmen Vitale. We are broadcasting live from the Tyrek.com studios in Los Angeles. Sure. Thank you for spending your draft day, NBA playoff day, MLB baseball day. There's so much going on right now. So we appreciate you deciding to hang out with us because we have a good time and we hope you do too. But let's continue talking about the draft here. We're still on. They're on round six now. But the number one overall pick, you guys, the Bears have arrived. Welcome to the show, Chicago. Not only did they get the best number one pick we've seen in a while, Caleb Williams, a generational talent, but with their number nine pick, instead of getting an edge rusher, which is something they needed, and I think past Bears, that might be something that they would go for, they went and got a top-tier weapon for Caleb. Washington's wide receiver, Rome Odunze. And what I love is you could already see the chemistry between these two guys at the draft. We know that they were on the same plane to Detroit because Caleb tweeted, "Yo, just saw Rome on my flight to Detroit. Big fan." And then we saw him kind of like goofing around backstage at the draft. But like, let's dig into why this is such a big deal for the Bears in Chicago, because they have never had that guy at quarterback. They've never had a quarterback throw more than 4,000 yards in a season. They've never had a quarterback throw 30 touchdown passes in a season. Yeah. Yeah. So what Caleb Williams could mean for this city and this franchise is something we have never seen before in Chicago. What's the vibe in the building?
I grew up in Chicago.
I know.
This iteration of the Chicago Bears, I said this on Golic and Gojo and Golic. I was on the other morning. I don't know her. I don't know these Chicago Bears. I've never seen Chicago Bears like this.
It's exciting.
On paper, with the offensive firepower they have, it looks like they're finally going to break those records, which have become commonplace. 4,000-yard passers is like the standard for a good quarterback this year or these days.
Yeah.
30 touchdown passes is not something that should be aspired to. But even Rome Odunze was told what the Bears' receiving record is.
Yeah.
Receiving yards record is. And it was set a long time ago, 3,800 yards, something like that. And he's like, in a career?
Yeah.
That's literally how he said it, because it was so unbelievable that there's so many offensive records that just are such low-hanging fruit.
Because they've been living in the past. They're like, 1985, best defense in history.
And it has been an organizational identity.
Yeah.
Defense has been an organizational identity for my entire life.
Yeah.
And even before that. So this could mean fun football in Chicago. I love football for the grittiness of it, for the toughness of it, for the violence of it all. That's why Lance Briggs is my favorite player. But that is not the fun, flashy football that we see now.
No.
And the Bears have never been fun and flashy. That's never been them. But then you bring in a guy like Caleb Williams, who is the definition of fun and flashy and productive and confident. The call of him getting the call, Ryan Poles is like, yeah, they're making me wait 5 minutes on this, or wait till the 5 minute mark to do this. But you know, like it was so uneventful because these guys have been talking and they've known that this was the case for months.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Chicago to have something to celebrate, but I want to caution against having these expectations right away.
No.
On paper, they look amazing. They look like they could contend for the division. They look like they're a playoff team. All of that
stuff. Do you think they're a playoff team?
I think that they will flirt.
Year one with Caleb?
I will think they will flirt with playoff contention.
Okay.
But I don't want that to be the expectation.
I mean, that's going to be the expectation with all the hype around a generational talent like Kayla.
I don't like calling him a generational talent either. I don't like it at all. We have these generation. We just, that's what everybody was saying Trevor Lawrence was. And Trevor Lawrence is a great player, but when you put the label of generational on these guys, you're putting so much pressure on them. And in a city like Chicago that is a football town through and through, yeah, despite their lack of recent success, I don't want those expectations on this group, especially because they're all new.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen is new.
Yep.
Roma Dunze, new. Caleb Williams, new. They've got new offensive linemen. They've got a new offensive DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
They've got a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
You need to give these guys time. To figure it out, and you need to make sure that the defense is what you think it is and what it was in the back half of last season, which was a top five unit.
Yeah.
That, as long as you see that progress and the way that they're kind of gelling, and by the end of this next season, if they look like a playoff caliber team, whether or not their record reflects
it. So you're saying year two. Give it to year two.
Yes.
Let's see what happens
in year one. Exactly
what
I'm saying is hold off judgment, hold off expectations until year two. It is. Patience is not a thing in the NFL.
No. Especially with all of the hype around a guy like Caleb Williams.
And especially with the, on paper, the roster. Because you look at these guys and yes, the Bears have DJ Moore,
yeah,
Keenan Allen, and then Roma Dunze is your wide receiver three.
Yeah.
That already, he could be the best wide receiver three in the entire league. But yeah, I don't want to put that expectation on him.
You're coming to the NFL. All the expectation is going to be on you, especially when you had the number one overall pick and you're a team that has never had a quarterback throw more than 4,000 yards or never had 30 touchdown passes in a season.
Yeah,
there are going to be high expectations regardless.
Which is wild to me because the bar is so low.
Yeah.
That's where I'm coming from.
I'm just
from
saying, like, break those, like, success.
Exactly.
Success. Have an exciting season. Compete.
Exactly. That is what I want. I don't want to put playoff expectations. I don't want to put division expectations, especially when you're in a division with the Detroit Lions, the Green Bay Packers, and then whatever Minnesota ends up being.
Dude,
this could be
tough.
The toughest division
in football.
This might
be the tough.
It's going to rival the AFC North.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put expectations of, like,
there's expectations.
Hardware.
There is hard expectations.
I don't want to put those on them.
On
I just
Caleb
don't want to do it.
And this team. Yeah. Well,
but to his credit, he's not shying away from it.
No. And he shouldn't. That's why I think it's going to work out. He knows, like, again, he came from a big time school. He's had big time awards. And he's an NIL guy who's made big time money already.
And that, I do think his transition to the league will be a little bit easier because of that. I think just in general, these guys taking accountability for themselves, their careers, and being businessmen really aids in transitioning to the NFL lifestyle. But on the field, I mean, Caleb's coming out of the Pac-12. I'm a Pac-12 girl. I went to Arizona State. I am under no illusions of how hard the Pac-12 is. It's not. So now you are not going up against SEC competition. You're not even going up against some of the big time players, big hitters in the Big Ten. You are going up against the Pac-12 for the most part.
With a horrible defense.
He literally
got owned.
Yes.
Like, he got destroyed.
And I think that's good because that gives him a little bit of adversity. You're going to face adversity with the Chicago Bears in year one. That is what the NFL is about. It is a when, not if, when it comes to facing adversity.
Oh, yeah.
How he reacts, that's when I think I will have more expectations of Caleb Williams, is after seeing how he reacts to the inevitable adversity that will happen in his first year in Chicago.
I'm just so excited. All right, now let's check in with Martin Weiss and see what's trending.
Milwaukee Bucks point guard Damian Lillard, he's diagnosed with a grade 1 Achilles strain, doubtful for game 4 of the playoffs tomorrow at Indiana. The Pacers lead the series 2-1. Cavaliers at the Magic in game 4 of the 4 or 5 series in the East. Orlando won 112-89. Series now tied 2 apiece. Franz Wagner, 34 points, 13 rebounds. Thunder and the Pelicans down in New Orleans. Thunder lead the series 2-0. They also lead at halftime 60-46. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 15 points. At the end of regulation in hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Islanders tied 2 apiece going to overtime there. Carolina leads the series 3-0, so the Islanders fighting to extend their season. In the NFL draft, we saw the 5th round just conclude about 11 picks ago, had 2 major quarterbacks go there. Jordan Travis from Florida State is now going to be a New York Jet. Spencer Rattler from South Carolina is going to be a New Orleans Saint. Last couple picks in the draft so far, we have the 11th pick in the sixth round, Casey Washington to the Atlanta Falcons. That's an Illinois wide receiver. Jake McKellen, running back from Alabama, also going to the Atlanta Falcons. And one of Jordan Travis' favorite targets, Johnny Wilson, wide receiver from Florida State, is a Philadelphia Eagle. Alex and Carmen, back to you guys.
Thank you, Martin. You're listening to Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry here with Carmen Vitale. We are broadcasting live from Atarik.com studios in Los Angeles. And it is time to bring in our first guest, someone that I got to know in Vegas at the Super Bowl. And I'm so excited to have on our show. Please welcome NFL writer Nick Shook.
If it isn't my two favorite ladies in the business, how are you?
Yeah. Fabulous.
Flattery will get you everywhere, Shook.
I know. Keep it coming.
Shook and I have known each other. Full disclosure, Shook and I have known each other for years now.
Oh, so. I know. You introduced. You brought the crew together.
I brought the crew together. And we went to that bar at the Cosmo like multiple times.
Yeah. Well, because that's where NFL Network was staying.
Right.
And that's where
it was great.
When all these big events happen, the hotel lobby bar is where everybody meets everybody. Uh-huh. That's just the way life works.
Especially that week. It was a zoo down there. Big was there at some point. J.R. Smith, Carmen Vitale, Alex Curry, everybody.
Oh, I forgot we saw J.R. Smith. Hilarious.
We love it. All right, Nick, one of the biggest surprises, day one at the draft, the Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr., despite just giving Kirk Cousins a four-year insane contract this offseason. What are your initial thoughts, and how do you see this playing out in Atlanta?
So initially I laughed because the timing of it obviously isn't ideal and it's head scratcher, you know, because you just spent all that money on a quarterback. But what we fail to recognize, I think, in snap judgment is the fact that Kirk Cousins is 36 years old. He's coming off of a torn Achilles. He wasn't the most mobile guy necessarily, but it's going to affect pocket navigation, right? So why not plan for the future with a guy that you fell in love with? The guy who has probably the best arm in this
draft.
Go
get a tackle then. Go get another guard.
You're helping my opening argument. You're helping my opening argument.
I can't believe I am on an island here in thinking that this is insane.
I'm gonna fight you.
It's the future. You got to think about the future. Coming off an Achilles injury.
Absolutely.
Major injury.
Absolutely.
Late in his career. Okay, keep going, Nick. Sorry.
Go.
The majority of everybody is saying that, too. And I think they didn't handle the process well. Not informing Kirk that they were even considering it until they were on the clock is not good. That's poor business, right? But when you're talking about roster construction and long-term planning, look, how many quarterbacks started a game last year? I can tell you 66. You know how often I ranked every single one of them on a week-by-week basis. It's a lot of guys who need good insurance. And the Falcons just spent the last 3 years living in quarterbacking no man's land. It was Taylor Heineke. It was Marcus Mariota. It was Desmond Ridder. None of them panned out. And they were good enough to potentially make the playoffs even with bad quarterback play. They finished 7-10 each of those years, right? So why not give you a backup that you might actually like and would like to see at some point if Kirk does go down or he has issues with the Achilles or whatever, and also somebody that we can plan for long-term. You know, a lot of the complaints is, well, he's been in college for so long, it's not like he's coming out at 21 years old. Who cares? He's still in his 20s. He's 10 years younger than Kirk Cousins. And if you really love the guy, say you want two good years out of Kirk, and then he starts to fall off a cliff, and you can get out of that contract as a post June 1st cut in 2026. It's $12.5 million of dead cap. That's nothing compared to what we see other teams bite the bullet for with guys like Russell Wilson with Denver, right?
So why not plan? I get it, but please answer me.
Important position.
Please answer me the question of what the biggest cheat code in the NFL is.
Well, speed, number one, and two, it's the trenches, and I would reverse that.
It is having a quarterback on a rookie contract that is productive and a good quarterback for you because you don't have to spend the money on that contract. You are wasting years of Michael Penix Jr.'s rookie contract, which affects how you can build your team, because by the time that you have to play him, you're going to be up against his next contract at that point without having a full evaluation on who he is as a quarterback. Not to mention, what happens if Kirk struggles a little bit, but it doesn't necessarily have to do with the injury, or he's not actually hurt? He's just struggling. Then you have a guy that you drafted top 10 breathing down his neck, and now you have a quarterback position, a quarterback battle. And that is not good for anyone. That's not good for the locker room. That's not good for the two quarterbacks that are involved. It could be a total mess in Atlanta. I get planning for the future, but if you thought you wanted to plan for the future this year, then get the bridge quarterback and then draft this guy. I know that they're picking eighth, but if you absolutely needed a quarterback, we saw the Minnesota Vikings get their guy regardless. Atlanta absolutely could do that because guess what? They picked three spots ahead of the Vikings' original pick. So I can't get on board with this. I think it's irresponsible. And yes, how they handled it with Kirk Cousins, I feel bad for the guy, and I feel bad for Michael Penix Jr. because he deserves to play right away.
Okay, but I'm going to come back to you with this. This is why I love you, because we can go back and forth on things like this until the sun sets and then rises again.
And we
it's
do.
A double-edged sword. And we do. We definitely do. It's a double-edged sword because the rookie contract is great, except when you have to throw that rookie into the fire and he doesn't deliver, a la Zach Wilson with the Jets. Suddenly, that rookie contract doesn't matter. In
so
fact, you're happy he's on the rookie contract because you're getting out on a cheaper rate.
Do what Minnesota did. Get the bridge.
That's the compromise. That's the compromise that they failed to do when they went and signed Kirk Cousins.
Exactly.
But the other side is, too, is if Kirk struggles, if he does struggle, he was going to struggle whether Penix was there or not. So it's still a better position to have Penix there than not, I think, in my opinion.
I think your best case scenario, Kirk goes off, he's the quarterback you think he is, and you sit Michael Penix Jr. for years.
Armin, I have to say, I'm shocked. After you have been the lead. You've been the lead voice on the Jordan Love experiment and the block.
This is not. We went through this. This is not Green Bay. This is not the situation with Aaron Rodgers.
What do you mean? You have a rookie quarterback sitting behind a successful veteran who is well liked. Who's you're going to get to learn
first of all,
and develop.
Aaron Rodgers was there so much longer. He had started to fall off a cliff when they drafted Jordan Love. Also, Green Bay has a track record of this working out for them. Also, they don't have an owner that has these extra pressures that every other team does on decisions like this. So they can afford to be patient. Nowhere else in the league can anybody else get away with that. It is Green Bay and Green Bay only, not to mention, like I said, they've done this multiple times. So you can trust them. I do not have that trust. Not to mention, does the owner have that trust?
Because
Terry Fontenot might not be there by the time Michael Penix Jr. starts.
We're going to agree to disagree on this with Carmen. Let's talk about the Bears real quick, because we only have you for a little bit longer.
Yeah, a couple minutes longer.
Taking Caleb, number one. They stuck with offense with their second pick, taking Rome at number 9. Now, they have never had a quarterback throw more than 4,000 yards in a season, never had a quarterback throw more than 30 touchdown passes in a season. How quickly do we see these two playmakers improve Chicago's offense?
I mean, I think it's an instant improvement, but I also think that the standard was pretty low to begin with. You just kind of pointed it out with those facts, right? It's actually remarkable when you dig into some of these franchises how few of them have actually had quarterbacks routinely break 4,000 yards, considering where quarterback play is. But like Joe Flacco with the Browns was the first quarterback in franchise history to throw for 300-plus in 4 straight games. And they've been around for like 70 years, okay? It's insane that some of these franchises haven't experienced, you
although
know, top
4,000 yard seasons weren't as common as they were, like, you know, up until like 15 years ago.
Yeah, but 15 years is still pretty damn long.
It's true.
It's true.
So I think that you'll see it's an improvement, but I also don't want to place such high expectations on Caleb Williams that he's just going to come in and transform the franchise overnight.
Absolutely.
They are a lot better on paper than they were 2 years ago and last year. That defense came around in the back half of the season last year and really, you know, proved to be their strength, and all they really were missing is offense. And since then, they've upgraded the receiver room tremendously with Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze, and then you have the quarterback. But it's going to be an acclimation process for the guy because he's still a rookie, and he still is going to have to work out some kinks. No quarterback comes out of the NFL perfect, right? There are some guys who are generational talents. You get the Andrew Luck types. Trevor Lawrence was advertised as that to begin with. Then he went through 1 year of Urban Meyer, and it was rough. It was rough before he got back on track. And even then, he's still kind of hit or miss sometimes. Last year was a season full of near misses for him and the entire Jaguars offense. So I think the same thing could be true for Caleb. So let's exercise some patience here. Keep the optimism high, though, because last year, everyone was talking about the Bears. They're going to go back to the playoffs this year. They're going to be a better team if you talk to Bears fans. And they obviously didn't live up to those expectations.
Yep.
It was easy to see that coming. This time around, I could entertain such a notion.
Thank you. We are back. Neg and I, we're back on the same page. I've got one last really quick. Who's going to be the tougher division, AFC North or NFC North?
Ooh, that's tough. Yeah. I'm going to go AFC North, and maybe that's a bit of homerism because I live in Cleveland, and that's where I'm doing this call from right now. But
yeah, that's home.
I mean, that's a damn good division. It was a damn good division last year. I mean, the Steelers, the Browns, the Ravens all made the playoffs, and the Bengals, they were a Joe Burrow away from being in the playoff run as well. They were in the playoff run for like the last 2 weeks. So every team in that division could win the division, and every team in that division could come out as one of the favorites in the AFC, not named Kansas City right now. Mm-hmm. So I have to go with the North, but I love that the NFC North is rounding into form. It's always a good division to be competitive.
It is.
Nick, you were awesome. Can we? We're gonna have you back on again real soon here. Yes, we appreciate you. No, thank you so much for joining us.
Love you, Sick.
See ya. You guys. Love you.
All right. When we come back, the do's and the don'ts in sports. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. Ooh, that's it. There we go. Welcome back to Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry here with Carmen Vitale. We are broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios in Los Angeles.
Explosive like the Bears offense.
Yes. As you said, no high expectations. So
they can still be explosive without me having expectations.
All right,
Two things can be true, Alex. That's fine.
Yeah. Yes, they can. It's one of my favorite lines. All right, guys. It is time for the do's and the don'ts in sports.
Highlighting the do's.
Ooh, I love that.
And putting a spotlight on the don'ts.
The subject brings me no joy.
Don't do that.
Are you on crack?
It's time for the do's and the don'ts in sports.
All right, we got a lot of good things for the do's and the don'ts. I'm going to start with a funny. Do celebrate your accomplishments. Jim Harbaugh gets a 15-0 Michigan tattoo in honor of their national title this season. When I saw it, like the social media post, I was like, no, that can't be real. Right on his shoulder, yeah. The M and the 15-0, that's it? Just going to rock it for the rest of your life?
Did you see his face?
Yeah, he was pumped.
Just deadpan. And then he like looked at it, he's like smiled.
Let's
it was so
go.
Cute.
Yeah, no.
We're very dad.
Big,
very dad.
Big Harbaugh fan who's also like living in his RV out here in California.
I think he's moved now.
He did, but he did. For a bit. Let's see, what do you got?
All right. I got do call your shot.
Okay.
Because new Bears offensive tackle, Kieran Omegaji. Gosh, this is going to... Omegaji. I got it right. Grew up in Chicago. Actually went to my rival high school.
Love that.
And last year met Matt Eberflus at the golf club that his dad belongs to and told Matt Eberflus he was going to play for his hometown team.
Love that.
Now all of these tweets are surfacing.
Oh.
All of like him saying things about the Chicago Bears, like just along with the rest of us, like all of our the thoughts
emotions.
About the Chicago emotions,
the
like
good
morning
bad.
At Justin Fields and Justin Fields only.
Cool.
Releasing the episode about releasing the entire Bears offensive line a couple years ago, which is justifiable, don't get me wrong, especially given that he's an offensive lineman, so he knows what he's looking at.
Yep.
Hilarious. Absolutely love it. This is what happens when you get a hometown guy. You're going to get a guy with a lot of heart, and Ryan Poles loves that.
I love that. Okay. Do have fun with draft night and family messages. We got a little bit of everything here, but Drake May's brothers had a message for him once he was drafted third overall to the Patriots, and it was hilarious because you expect like emotional things. His first brother
went, most of them are.
Pretty boy. Next one, overrated. And final, a beesh. I made that a little PG, but he just starts hysterically laughing.
A little beesh.
I think is what he said,
which is hysterical because Drake May is not little.
And then you had Caleb Williams' mom's message, and he's just like, I was crying watching it.
Oh, I know.
Like, it was just
so sweet.
The emotion, everything around this night and this moment and what it means for all these athletes. Like, I was crying the next day, like, watching all their hype videos, with them being drafted, and then, like, the montage of all their top plays. I'm like, yes, this is what it's all about.
I adore that. And honestly, that's why I really like Drake May, because he's the youngest of all those boys. And so you know that he's like,
he can take it.
He's been a punching bag his whole life. All right, I've got a don't.
Okay.
But it's like a positive don't.
Okay.
Don't doubt your friends. Because the Vikings put out a video after they traded up to get Dallas Turner.
Yeah.
And it's a close shot of Kevin O'Connell's face.
Yeah.
And it says, and Kwesi's coming over. Kwesi Doofenshmirtz, their general manager, is coming over and he's like, we're getting him, Turner. And KOC just looks, he's like, really? And the smile spreads across his face. His eyes get super wide. It's the most memeable thing I've ever seen in my whole life. But, like, these guys work so well together, and I'm getting to cover them is a joy because it really does seem like Kwesi and KOC are in lockstep. And so Kevin O'Connell is just so thrilled about this.
I love that.
And I'm like, why did you even doubt? Don't doubt Kwesi.
Don't doubt him.
He got him. Yeah. Now that they got their quarterback taken away, or, you know, squared away. So now they went out and got one of the best defensive players in the draft. It was
smart.
Good job, Vikings.
That was great. Okay. Do match your shoes to your car. I don't know if you saw this, but Luca pulled up in a 68 Camaro matching his Jordans. They were this pink and purple swirl vibes.
Oh, I love.
And the car had like a little like Jordan like emblem on the back of it. It was so swaggy. So beautiful.
We love a white boy with swag.
We
do. We do.
I just love all kind of swag, because swag is confidence. And if you got confidence and swag, like, we're fine. Everything's going to be all right. Okay, when we come back, 6 quarterbacks went in the top 12, but who will succeed and who will fail? We're going to break that down. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. Welcome to Hour 2, Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry alongside Carmen Vitale. We are broadcasting live on Tyrek.com studios in Los Angeles. Thank you for spending your Saturday afternoon with Carmi and me. We've got Lions reporter Danny Rogers joining us live from Detroit in about 30 minutes. And happy NFL draft weekend, you guys. I got to start out by giving a mad shout out to the Rams for absolutely crushing the vibe.
Yeah.
Here in LA, they built a full football field on the beach in our town of Hermosa Beach, and kids have been like playing on it all week. They're keeping it up and through, I think, like Tuesday or Wednesday.
Are they? I didn't realize
next
it was still
week,
there.
They had their like draft party, like where they were actually making their selections.
Oh, the draft, yeah.
At one of the top party houses in town.
Their draft house. They do a draft house every year.
I've raged there. Like they have, they throw some of the best parties in town. Yeah. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
I loved all of that.
Like, the Rams take full advantage of being in L.A. / like Southern California. And I like that they were highlighting like different areas.
Yeah, because Malibu last year. Mm-hmm. Then they did Hermosa Beach this year. They're staying to the beach town, which
I was taking my walk and down the beach and on Wednesday, and I was like, I smelled something. I was like, what does that smell? And then I turn and look over and they're painting the turf.
Oh, yeah. No, they have like full turf on the beach.
And the whole pier just had a ton of activations on it. Good job, Rams.
It was beautiful. They absolutely crushed it. Well, we are broadcasting live from the Tyrek.com studios. Tyrek.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. Tyrek.com, the way tire buying should be.
Thoroughbred Racing has a new independent regulator, HISA, that is implementing comprehensive reforms, and the sport is combining hands-on care with cutting-edge technology to help keep its athletes safe. So to learn more, visit safetyrunsfirst.com. That's safetyrunsfirst.com. We love to hear it.
We do. Now, Carmen, we've seen a lot of crazy things go down this weekend during the draft. Mm-hmm. 14 offensive players went before a single defensive player. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick showing some personality on the Pat McAfee show. I don't know if you saw that. It was
a lot.
It was the most like personality I've seen that man.
It's kind of jarring when you see that.
I was like,
to be honest.
Is this like what he's been holding back the whole time? He could have been fun. He could have been a cool guy.
There was the dog, like during the COVID.
Yeah.
Like you saw that. I'm like, all right, well, he must have more personality than we're giving him credit for.
We also saw Roger Goodell dropping hints that he would like to replace a preseason game with a regular season game, bringing it to 18 games. Did you see that?
It's only a matter of time before stuff like that ends up happening.
Joe Burrow was one of the first to respond saying, so like 2 bye weeks, but then that would put Super Bowl to President's Day weekend, giving everyone that Monday off after Super Bowl, which like,
I don't hate that idea. As long as you did, you would have to put in 2 bye weeks at this point. Now with the bye weeks getting later and later, some teams are going 14 weeks without a bye.
That's crazy.
Which is nuts.
That's crazy.
And I get that you get the mini bye if you play Thursday and every team does, but it's not the same.
No.
And it puts undue pressure on these guys, especially now that we're having a Christmas game on Wednesday.
Oh, sorry about that.
I'm just never going to see my family for a major holiday. It's fine.
No, but you don't in sports. Like, I like knew that going in. I was like, hey, I'm going to miss weddings. I'm going to miss celebrations.
But you don't count on missing Christmas every single year, because you figure that if Christmas falls on a Wednesday, I don't know. Yeah. I can go on and on about that.
I've worked Christmas the last handful.
Oh, I've done it. I do it all the time. But you think that maybe a couple of years you get actual time with your family.
Psych, not in sports. Well,
also, athletes. I'm. You've got me going on something, Alex. I'm already fired up today about the Penix Jr.
I love it. Well, we're about to get into that, kind of again, because the other crazy thing is we saw 12 quarterbacks go in the top 12. That was the most ever taken. So we're going to go through and explain who we think is going to succeed or fail and why. So let's start at the top. Number one, Caleb Williams going to the Bears. I think this will work. They're taking a completely different approach to their offense this season. Instead of putting all the pressure on a rookie quarterback, just like, hey, go figure it out, which was kind of what happened to Justin Fields. It was like,
and
they're giving
before him, and
yeah they're giving him weapons and surrounding him with pieces that will help him succeed. And we saw that Thursday night with the number one pick. Instead of getting the edge rusher, as I said off the top of the show, they went and got a top weapon for Williams with Rome Odunze. And like, obviously they added Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift. They have DJ Moore. That there's more of an offensive focus for this Bears team than we have ever seen.
No,
this season.
Literally in my entire lifetime. I want to give Ryan Poles his flowers because this was a very curated, intentional plan that he put in place as soon as he got to the Chicago Bears. People act like they lucked into the first overall pick after trading with Carolina. If you don't think that Ryan Poles was taking stock, because first of all, the Bears had multiple offers to move down last year from the number one overall pick, which they earned, down to number nine, which ended up being with the Panthers, because there was multiple offers and Ryan Poles looks at the Panthers and goes, yeah, I could bet that they're going to have a high first round pick. And sure enough, they got him the number one overall pick. So much so that the Bears having the number one overall pick and Caleb Williams going to the team picking first overall was such an incredibly unique situation.
Also,
because the
lucky
Bears did
for
not
Caleb.
Yes, the Bears did not warrant the number one overall pick. They have
year.
A better roster than would than most number teams picking number one overall have. So this was an opportunity to take advantage of having an actual environment to develop a young quarterback, which the Bears have never had. Like you mentioned before,
the Bears have never had that guy. They've never had a guy throw more than 4,000 yards in a season. They've never set that guy up for success to do that ever. No, I'm talking in
about
franchise history.
I'm talking
insane.
From experience here, where this entire franchise has had a defensive identity for the last five, six, seven decades.
You're living in the past, man.
Sid Luckman is the last guy that you can hang your hat on as a Chicago Bears quarterback. And that was so long ago that the game has completely changed. So now you get the fun, you get the flashy football. And Caleb Williams is the definition. We talked about it last hour, is the definition of fun and flashy. And on paper, this should work.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, Chicago Bears.
Good job, Ryan Poles.
I feel like you have finally arrived.
Good job, Ryan Poles.
To the new NFL. Okay, let's go to the second quarterback taken. Yeah. Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. The Heisman winner out of LSU. This is a lot of new for the Commanders.
Yes.
You got a new owner, a new coaching staff, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback.
A lot of new guys on the roster.
It's a lot of new. Now, they did pick up some new familiar faces. Austin Eckler, if he can stay healthy, veteran presence, which is great. But this one's tough for me because there is so much new. It's a lot of positivity. There's a lot of hope. But because everything is so new, I feel like I need to wait a month and see, like, just, is it gelling?
Bears are really new, too. So, yes, this is great. Temper expectations.
Different expectations. This is by no means the same. This is not the same at all, Carmen. I am not allowing that
more,
in.
No, there's
there
a lot more
similarities. There is extremely high expectations for the Bears and Caleb Williams. I don't, like, this is new owner, new coaching staff, new quarterback. A lot of new faces on this roster.
Yeah. Well,
this is like a
rebuild. It is. And I appreciate, you know, Jaden Daniels was responsible for all of LSU's success last year because that defense was horrendous. So Jaden Daniels had to go put up 40 to 50 points every single game. And I watched him do it very impressively. He's going to fit right into Cliff Kingsbury's offense.
Yeah.
He never went under center at LSU. Jaden Daniels didn't. And Cliff Kingsbury doesn't ask his quarterbacks to go under center. So that's great. But he's going to have Daniels kind of still pushing the ball down the field with the remnants of that air raid offense that Cliff Kingsbury used in college, which he took some of that to go to the NFL. The one concern I have is Cliff Kingsbury trying to make Jaden Daniels into Kyler Murray. They are two different players. And I think Jaden Daniels absolutely scrambles.
Yeah.
He is not a running quarterback. That is the differentiation. He is not. He knows how to scramble and he will do it.
Yeah.
But he's not big enough to at the NFL level to design runs for him. Like, this kid is like, I know he weighed in at the combine like over 200 pounds, and that was like soaking wet after probably drinking 2 gallons of water. Like, there's no, like, he doesn't weigh that much, and he's very small. So you're going to have a good offensive line that can protect him. Now, granted, Jayden Daniels can't get himself out of trouble. He's done that, but
yeah,
he has a tendency to look down when he's scrambling and doesn't necessarily see guys open down the field. So that's something you're going to have to coach him up on, all that other stuff. I just don't want him to Cliff Kingsbury to try to make Jayden Daniels into Kyler Murray.
Okay.
We'll see.
So succeed or fail?
Jury's
You're
out.
With me? Okay.
The jury's
You're
out.
With
I'm,
we'll
like, I, hey, I'm the queen of tempering expectations.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see how this all goes.
Let's go to number 3. Drake May to the Patriots.
Yeah.
First reaction, I was a little surprised they didn't trade down for a haul because, yes, they needed a quarterback, but they need so many other things, too. They don't have star receivers, star weapons, protection. Their O-line ranked 20th last season. Mm-hmm. Defense was middle of the pack, 15th in points allowed per game. Once again, a lot of new head coach in Jared Mayo, who's never been a head coach before. It feels kind of like a similar situation to Mac Jones of like, this, I think Drake May is in the toughest rookie situation.
Oh, yeah. He's basically Bryce Young from last year.
Yeah. So I think this is...
And like, I get, so Gerard Mayo was promoted from within. This was the succession plan apparently all along. He had language written into his contract that he would succeed Bill Belichick when he was gone. So you have some continuity when that happens.
Yeah.
But I was begging the Patriots to have a little bit more self-awareness for all of those reasons that you just mentioned. Not to mention, when the stuff that we heard from the Vikings after picking J.J. McCarthy, it very much, reading between the lines, sounded like they were prepared to give the Patriots both of their first round picks this year and next year's first.
That's crazy.
So to turn down three first round picks to then take Drake May, who is now coming into a terrible situation under so much pressure.
No weapons, no protection.
I don't think Drake May is the project that people were making him out to be in the last couple of weeks. I think that was more to get him to fall.
Yeah.
I think he is a great quarterback with an even higher ceiling.
Yeah.
But you are not setting him up for success in New England. I tweeted right after this happened that I was bummed.
Yeah.
And this is the reason, because I want to see Drake May set up to succeed, because I think that he could be one of these incredible caliber quarterbacks. But only so much of what determines success in this league for a quarterback,
like a supporting cast,
is the supporting cast and what situation they go into. And New England just does. They don't have the bare bones.
They don't have anything. They need so much.
They needed
a haul. They needed a haul, and they didn't get it.
Turning down 3 first round picks. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, let's move on. We don't have number.
We have so many quarterbacks to get through. So little time.
I know. Well, we've already talked about this one a bit.
Yeah.
At number 8, Michael Penix Jr. going to the Falcons. This was the biggest WTF situation for most Atlanta fans, but it happened. So let's dive in a little bit, because two things can be true in this situation.
Oh boy, you're going to use my words against me now.
Uh-huh. This could actually be a great learning situation for Penix to develop, even though it's an awkward situation for Kirk Cousins. Okay? I'm not surprised that Penix was a top pick. He's a pure pocket passer. He has great accuracy. He's got a beautiful throw and spin on the ball. The weird part of this whole situation is that the Falcons just paid Kirk Cousins $180 million over 4 years with a $100 million guarantee, and he didn't get the heads up that they were taking a quarterback until they were on the clock. That is the uncomfortable, irresponsible miscommunication part of this whole situation.
The whole thing is irresponsible.
So,
the whole thing is irresponsible. I'm not going to let you have this without challenging it.
Yeah, and I will challenge you right back, because now they have two great quarterbacks at the most important position.
You can't play two quarterbacks
in the league.
At the same
time. You can't, but you also have Kirk Cousins, who's an older quarterback, coming off of the biggest injury that you can come off of late in his career. He hasn't played a game since, and this is insurance, as we heard them say. Kirk Cousins is our quarterback now. Penix is the future.
Is not a top 10 pick.
I think this will
insurance is not a top
work.
10 pick.
I'm going to say this is going to work.
No, I'm going to say this is going to be horribly, horribly wrong. And I'm so sorry to Michael Penix, because this is not his fault. It was not his choice. And I wanted Michael Penix to start right away. He is ready to start now. And I am so much in favor of giving guys time to ease into the NFL. So a bridge quarterback to the Michael Penix Jr. era in Atlanta would have been phenomenal. A+, love that. This is not that. You do not pay a bridge quarterback $100 million guaranteed. That is not the thing here. And to create a quarterback competition for both is going to be a detriment to both. There is no way that you did not make things worse for Kirk Cousins by drafting Michael Penix Jr. And there is no way that you play Michael Penix Jr. without something bad happening to Kirk Cousins or taking something away from Michael Penix Jr. later on down the line. It's completely like the cap hit that Kirk Cousins has. Even if Michael Penix Jr. plays in 2 years, that's going to affect him. Like, this is just... I don't even have words.
Okay,
because
so you don't think it's going to succeed?
I don't.
Let's move on to the next quarterback. At number 10, J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings. This was the first trade up. One spot.
Just one little spot.
But I could see this working. He's a national champion whose coach, like Harbaugh, had been raving about him. He's coming into a situation that will help him succeed with a lot of good pieces in place. Yep. They have wide receiver depth. They have a good O-line. They were 12th last season. The only hesitation is the NFC North is now a stacked division. Mm-hmm. The Lions proved they are the top team last year. Packers and Jordan Love did well. Bears getting the number one pick and Caleb Williams. Vikings did sign Sam Darnold this offseason, so... Mm-hmm. Is there a world where they sit JJ behind Sam, or is it a straight up quarterback competition here?
No. You're not doing that again with a first round top 10 pick. What you're doing is you're bridging the Kirk Cousins era with the JJ McCarthy era, and you are letting Sam Darnold be the guy to start so you can ease JJ in, because JJ does need reps.
Yeah.
He needs development. He is the project, but he has the traits that Minnesota really liked. And he's coming into a situation where you have a former quarterback, a head coach, you have a former quarterback as your quarterback's coach.
Mm-hmm.
You also have tons of weapons, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, Aaron Jones now. You have a good offensive line, and you got a defense that could potentially be top five, especially with the addition of Dallas Turner now. So you can ease him into this situation when you feel like he is ready. This is the exact situation in Minnesota is what you want for your young rookie quarterback. You could not. I think that situation is even better than the Bears situation. The Bears situation is the best a first overall pick has come into.
Yeah.
The situation in Minnesota is the best situation
like
of a rookie
complete
quarterback
team to help him succeed.
Absolutely.
Situation.
This is the best of this draft. This is the
All
best
right.
situation a quarterback is coming into is in Minnesota. I think this is absolutely going to work.
Okay.
And I think it's going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But in the long haul, the Vikings are going to be better for it, because while they may, there was rumors they wanted Drake May.
Yeah.
While they may not have gotten their ideal quarterback, they got the ideal situation when they got to get J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner.
Yeah.
That now opposite of Jonathan Greenard, who they got from the Texans this offseason in free agency, 12.5 sacks last year. So now you're going to pair another guy on the other side of him, another first round pick, potentially the first, you know, the best defensive player in the draft.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it so much.
Real
Good job,
quick,
Vikings.
One more at number 12, Bo Nix to the Broncos. Now, this was one of Carmen's, if you were listening in the first hour, WTF moments, because she does not believe that Bo Nix should be a top
12
quarterback. Will he succeed? I think yes. He has the most college experience out of any quarterback prospect this year, 61 games. In his last season at Oregon, he was second in passing yards, most passing touchdown, a Heisman finalist, and Sean Payton now has his guy. Bo Nix fits the offense that Sean Payton likes to run, and this is Sean Payton's chance to show and prove he can do what he came to Denver to do. A lot of comps between Bo and Drew Brees, which is Payton's bread and butter. If he can be even a fraction of what Brees was, I think they will succeed.
Yeah, if he can.
If he can.
If he can. So his experience in college, though, I also feel like works as a detriment to Sean Payton. Wants to mold him. Sean Payton wants to make him into the next Drew Brees. Sean Payton has the ego to think that he can do so. Well, now Bo Nix is going to have to unlearn things from college and relearn them under Sean Payton.
Yeah, and but Sean like, Payton isn't that what like any college quarterback is doing once you get to the NFL?
Unless
like,
get,
it's a different
unless
game.
Unless you get a guy like J.J. McCarthy, who is very, very raw and needs reps and is actually moldable. There it is. Moldable. Try saying that five times fast. I like Bo Nix as a quarterback. Please do not get me wrong. He is a good quarterback.
Yeah,
and
if
this was 2 years ago, he would have absolutely been probably the first quarterback taken off the board. But I just can't get on board with him being a top 12 pick and also being asked to be the guy in Denver, because who else do you have? Zach Wilson? That's tough.
Yikes.
So I'm going to say no. I don't think it's going to go well.
I'm going to give Sean Payton the benefit of the doubt and say yes. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. But when we come back, is the Lakers playoff run done tonight? We'll explain more next on Fox Sports Radio. Welcome back to Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry alongside Carmen Vitale. We are broadcasting live from Tarik.com studios in Los Angeles.
That's such a hype up.
Thank you for spending your Saturday afternoon with us, because we know there are so many things going on right now between the draft, baseball, playoff, basketball, and we've talked about it all today.
Oh, we sure have.
Literally everything.
Except for
what?
Playoff basketball.
Ah, that's coming up next.
Now, also coming up right after the show, our podcast will be going up.
Cool.
If you missed any of today's show, be sure to check it out. Just search Fox Sports Radio wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow, rate, subscribe, do all of those wonderful things, and
because
review the podcast.
Us.
Just search Fox Sports Radio, and you'll see the show posted right after we get off the air. Alex and I will absolutely post it to our social media.
Follow us.
Wonderful
Alex
producers getting
Curry.
It up right away. It's great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, guys, let's get... Let's get to some basketball, because I feel like tonight might be the last time I get to cheer on my Lakers, because the Lakers are cooked.
Sorry.
Let's be honest. Denver's that team. Like, the West runs through Denver now. They are the defending champs with the best player in the league in the Joker, the best 1-2 punch with the Joker and Jamal Murray. And the Lakers have had leads in all three of their losses, you guys. They blew 10-point leads in each game. Led by 12 in game one, led by 20 in game two, led by 12 in game three. But the nail in the coffin was Murray's buzzer beater in game two in Denver, with AD falling into their celebration on the bench. That deflated the Lakers. You could see it in their post-game presser. To be up by 20 in Denver, and if they were able to bring the series back home, tied 1-1, that's a completely different series. A completely different series. But it's just, the vibe in the locker room is off. I talked to Lakers reporter, my friend Nikki Kay, who told me, you know, they weren't pissed, which when you're down three games in a series, you should be. It was more of an acceptance that they know how much better Denver is than them. And to me, that alone right there is a death sentence. But right now, let's check in with Martin Weiss and see what's trending.
Milwaukee Bucks point guard Damian Lillard diagnosed with a grade 1 Achilles strain. He's doubtful for game 4 of the playoffs tomorrow at Indiana. The Pacers lead the series 2-1. Cavaliers at the Magic at game 4 of the 4-5 series in the East. Orlando won a 111-89 series, now tied 2 games apiece, with Franz Wagner, who had 34 and 13 rebounds in that. At the end of overtime, the Carolina Hurricanes and New York Islanders still tied 2 apiece. They're moving into the second overtime now. With 9 minutes, 42 seconds left in the first period, the Panthers trailing the Lightning 1-0. Florida with a 3-0 lead in that series overall. The Jets have traded defensive lineman John Franklin Myers to Denver in exchange for a 2026 sixth round pick, less than a week after trading quarterback Zach Wilson to Denver as well. And in the NFL draft, the sixth round winding up right now, we had a few different place kickers get drafted right now. Most recent one from Arkansas, Cam Little, is now a Jacksonville Jaguar. Kamal Hayden, cornerback from Tennessee, is now a Kansas City Chief. And Boston College offensive guard Christian Mahogany, a member of the Detroit Lions. Alex, Carmen, back to you guys.
Thank you, Martin. You're listening to Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry here with Carmen Vitale. We are broadcasting live from the Tarik.com studios in Los Angeles. Now, we talked about this off the top of the show. Just the vibe in Detroit, right? With over 275,000 fans in attendance.
Now they have the all-time record for all of the rounds. The governor of Michigan came out to announce the Lions' fifth-round pick and said that they now have 700,000 in attendance and counting for all 3 days of the draft.
Oh, my gosh.
Detroit is football town.
Like, where do you put all of those people? Like, that is absolutely insane. But let's talk about, because they had a lot of legends past and present in Detroit coming together for this draft. Megatron, Barry Sanders, Eminem, Jared Goff out there. They brought out everybody. And the Lions had a legendary season last year, the first time in 32 years that they won a playoff game. So how do you see them repeat and keep pace with the rest of the division with all those heavy hitters?
Because they've gotten better. And I was very curious to see how Brad Holmes was going to approach the draft this year because of the fact that in the last couple of years, the Lions have needed everything.
Yeah.
And Brad Holmes is now infamous for taking best player available. You saw him and like his guy too, not necessarily like anybody else's best player available.
Yeah.
Last year, you saw him take a running back in Jahmyr Gibbs in number 12, followed by a inside linebacker in Jack Campbell at number 18. Those two positions in particular almost never go in the first round. This is something that you can see, you see teams get value for later on in the draft.
Yeah.
But it worked out because both Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell are starters. Not to mention they're the two second round picks after that, Brian Branch and Sam Laporta, also starters. So he was able to take whoever was there that they liked. Now, you don't have as many holes.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so now is Brad Holmes going to change up his draft strategy a little bit where he's going to go after the positions that he needs? And sure enough, that's what we've seen.
Yeah.
They've traded up multiple times now, I think three, four times at this point. But even in the first, everything. So they have corners.
Yeah.
They drafted multiple defensive backs because that was their biggest issue last year and the year before. They thought they addressed it going into last season, but then you get guys that are getting hurt. You had CJ Gardner-Johnson go down after the second game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And now you realize you have to insulate that position at all costs. So they went out and they got Terrion Arnold, who was arguably the best corner in the draft.
Okay.
And then you keep going with this position group and sure enough, trading up to get their guys. So it's a little bit of a departure for Brad Holmes. I still think it's going to work. And come hell or high water, Detroit is going to field a complete secondary this season because that is not going to be what keeps them out of a Super Bowl run.
Okay. Well, but let's look at the NFC North like in general, because I think it's shaping up to be one of the toughest divisions this season with some big new names. Obviously, Detroit like made their presence known last year. They are the team to beat in the NFC North. But like Green Bay and Jordan Love, like I think surprised everybody with how great of a first full season he had with this team. And then you have the Vikings getting J.J. McCarthy, Caleb Williams going number one overall to the Bears. How do you see this division shaping up next season?
That's why I asked Shook about it because last hour he is in Cleveland. He's grown up a Browns fan.
Yeah.
The AFC North was the toughest division last year for all the reasons that he mentioned.
Uh-huh.
But the NFC North is coming for them this year.
Yeah.
Because there are obviously the two obvious ones are Detroit, who won the division last year.
Yeah.
And then Green Bay, who made it to the divisional round with the youngest team in the league, by the way. These guys are creating a foundation for sustained success. That's what Green Bay does very, very well. They know how to build their teams.
Yeah.
They've been doing it the same way for the last three decades. That is a tried and true method. And clearly, Brad Holmes has a track record now, too. These teams are now, they've gotten the taste of winning. They know what it's like, especially in the Packers case. So they're going to be tough outs. But then you have the newcomers in the Chicago Bears who aren't used to recent success, but on paper have one of the most complete teams in the league right now. I don't know how that's going to go in practice, which is why I want to temper expectations. And then no one's giving the Vikings a shot either, which I think is hysterical given the fact that you have the best receiver in football in Justin Jefferson.
Okay.
Jordan Addison, who was a breakout rookie last year. TJ Hockenson, one of the best tight ends. Aaron Jones now in your backfield, by the way. Inner division was with the Packers. They released him. Vikings picked him up. You've got a good offensive line. And now you've got a unit on the defensive side that could potentially be a top five team too. So I don't want to discount the Vikings because if this all goes according to plan with J.J. McCarthy and they're able to develop him by the halfway mark of this season, they're going to have a real push to make maybe sneak in the wild card. I don't know. I'm not going to put division expectations on them either.
No, but I'm going to say top to bottom, like looking at just I have all the divisions up in front of me right now. Top to bottom, NFC North, AFC North.
Yeah, it's gonna be
like neck and neck. Every other division has like one to two teams that you're like, ugh.
Right?
Those are betting games, you know.
AFC South is gonna be in the mix there too. I'll tell you what, the Houston Texans have, and the Titans have done a lot too.
They have, but it's not like
there's a lot of
top to bottom. It's still not top to bottom.
We'll see what Jacksonville
now. Okay, day three is almost done with the draft. We've had a lot of legends come out of these late rounds. We kind of mentioned it, right? Like a Tom Brady, who was a sixth round. We're currently in the sixth round right now. Do you see, is there any big names that like you're kind of watching, like a late rounder that wasn't maybe a day one that you're kind of keeping an eye on, thinking like this is someone to watch out for?
It's interesting because of the guys that, especially any of the North, so covering the NFC North, I'm very plugged into that division in particular. It's interesting because I think that the player that is going to have the most immediate impact is the Bears' last pick, which was a punter. You had Torrey Taylor out of Iowa, who was the best punter in college football and got a ton of work because Iowa's offense was absolutely atrocious. Okay. I mean, Torrey was on the field more than their quarterback. I'm not kidding. Like, it was just
That's not
awful.
A good sign.
Not
That's
a great
not
sign.
Not a good sign at
and
all.
And I get that he has a lot of experience. I get that he's the best punter. I'm never really going to be on board with drafting a specialist. Because especially with, I mean, the fourth round, you can get.
But they took the punter before they got their edge rusher.
Right. They traded back in.
That was kind of weird because that was something big that they needed.
That they needed. And I think it might have been one of those things where they didn't want to have to give up future assets to go and get a punter. But then I'm like, I understand both sides of it. Like, that's a huge need. The Bears were not a good punting unit last year. But I caution against judging these guys from their body of work in college because the pro game is so different, even from a mental standpoint. Like, I'm old enough to remember Marquette King. And like,
he's a good friend of mine.
I know. And he's a great guy.
We love Marquette.
We do. But he lasted a couple of years in the league, did well, but then kind of fell off a cliff. And then I saw him punting in the USFL last year.
He is.
And then I also, when it comes to punters and kickers, I almost get more because of the rule changes.
Okay.
But I also was part of the Buccaneers that traded up to the second round to get apparently the best college kicker ever in Roberto Aguayo. Now, I get the second round is completely different than the fourth, but it's just, it's too much of a gamble for me to spend valuable assets on, even though this punter is going to be the one to actually affect games for the Chicago Bears. I just hope it works out, because otherwise that's going to be kind of a blemish on what was otherwise a fantastic draft for the Chicago Bears.
It's just so crazy because, again, every draft pick is a gamble. Like, you don't know how someone is going to pan out once they enter the NFL. It is a completely different game, different speed, bigger guys, more intense. So it's like, you hope it all works out, but you never know. All right. It's been fun, though. And it's still going on. Like, again, I said off the top, like, draft day just warms my heart because it's a lifetime of work, a dream coming true in a single moment.
Oh, yeah.
It's so beautiful. All right, we're going to take one more break here. But when we come back, never give up on something that is yours. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If
you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Fox Sports Saturday. Welcome back to Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry here with Carmen Vitale. We are broadcasting live from the Tyrek.com studios in Los Angeles. We have had such an eclectic group of music today.
Dude, Chris was killing it last week too. I swear. He's been on it.
Yeah. Can we get what's the inspo been? What's the vibe? Just what we're feeling each commercial break?
No, whatever the vibe is. I don't know. I'm tuned into the Cosmos right now.
Okay. Okay. What? We've gone alternative. We've gone all over the place, but I love it.
Literally went tub thumping.
Yeah. It puts a smile on our face. And you know what else is going to put a smile on your face? Our feel-good story.
It's a great transition,
of
Alex.
The week. I know. Transition queen over here. Okay. Reggie Bush finally got his Heisman Trophy back after 14 years of forfeiting it. And you guys, it's about damn time.
It's about damn time. That's what you should have played, Chris.
It's just, let it be a life lesson to people. Never stop fighting for what is yours. And never stop believing in yourself. Because he got punished for something that is now part of the NIL college football landscape. And it's hard to punish someone for something that is now being celebrated and taught. Mm-hmm. There's classes. Students are making millions of dollars off of all of this.
Real ones always knew Reggie Bush as a Heisman winner and knew that trophy hadn't gone anywhere. I really appreciate, though, that Johnny Manziel was like, you know what? No, enough is enough. I am not coming to the Heisman ceremony anymore until you give Reggie back his Heisman.
See, that's the coolest thing is...
It's a brotherhood.
Well, now he gets to be part of all the Heisman celebration stuff moving forward because it's an elite club and he deserves to be there. He was the best of the best during his time. I can't even imagine what that feels like to have something ripped away from you and to live in that it's almost like your identity getting taken away from you
Heisman winner is something
wrong.
That precludes your name whenever you are brought up.
That's how you are introduced.
Yes.
It's like when it's if you win an Emmy, if you're a Hall of Famer.
If you win the Super Bowl, if you have a gold jacket, if any of that, that is right up there. You will forever be known. They always say.
Yeah.
They can never take that away from you once you get it. Except they did take it
away
from Reggie Bush. And I hated that for him. But real ones never lost faith.
I'm
just glad that he finally has it back. And now you're right. He can participate in all of
it. Did you see
the Nissan commercials?
Is that what it is?
Oh, the Heisman House is a thing on Nissan commercials because Nissan sponsors either the award itself or they're just a college football sponsor.
Okay.
So all of the guys are in the house. You've got Tim Tebow driving the car.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Leinart comes up with some cooking something.
So yes, that's you now. Okay. Reggie Bush is in the Heisman House.
I'm just so what Reggie says, personally, I'm thrilled to reunite with my fellow Heisman winners and be a part of the storied legacy of the Heisman Trophy. I'm honored to return to the Heisman family because that's what it is. It's really getting to be back with your family.
Your brothers.
And I love it. Did you see the billboards around town that were give Reggie his Heisman back?
Full
PR push. Which was amazing. But Carmen, we have one more. We have two feel-good stories of the week here. And our second one.
Feel-good vibes.
It's all good vibes here. We're ending on great vibes. That's what we do here. Caitlin Clark reportedly signing a $28 million deal with Nike, which includes her signature shoe. Again,
love it.
Let's give a round of applause here because there was a lot of shock when people realized how much she was going to be getting paid in the WNBA.
Right.
It is shocking when you find out. I found out a couple years ago they're actually making. And I'm like, that's over how many years?
Right.
What? That's NBA draftees signing bonus, especially for someone
of league minimum in the NBA.
It's ridiculous. This is someone who... Her jerseys for the Fever sold out in every single size on draft night. So
Caleb Williams then broke that record.
He
by the
did.
Way.
Caleb Williams just broke
just
that record.
Broke
but
it
that's Chicago fans for you.
Sure is.
They are ready for this new next generation, everything happening. But these shoes are going to fly off the shelf.
I'm going to try to get a pair. But I don't know that I'm going to be able to. It's going to be one of those. I need a plug. I need a sneakers plug. First of all, I need a sneakers plug anyway, because that's how you get any of these shoes. But they're going to fly. They're going to be one of those ones that are sold out within minutes.
Yeah.
And I
gotta get your t-shirt plug.
My t-shirt plug? Oh, it's
yeah,
Homage.
You homage. Always have this
go
tickets.
Go hook my girl up.
Hey, Homage. It's
go
me,
hook my girl up.
Alex Curry. You
want
to give me some cool stuff to wear on our show? Because that would be really fun.
They're wonderful to me. I've just taken to wearing all my Homage and Homefield for that matter. Homefield is college. Homage is pros. I've taken to wearing all these shirts on our radio show. So,
there's already been the Caitlin Clark effect. We've seen it. Just with most of her games are now going to be nationally broadcast,
right.
Which has never happened.
And hopefully this whole Caitlin Clark effect extends to the commissioner of the WNBA talked about wanting to renegotiate the media rights deal and now looking for double what they were getting before, which will have the trickle down effect of paying these players more, of giving the WNBA the due it deserves and these athletes the due they deserve. Not that it's going to necessarily catch up to the NBA super quickly.
No.
But the
progress
has been great. And hopefully, Caitlin Clark, the biggest thing about the Caitlin Clark effect is that it hopefully means progress for the sport as a whole.
Yeah.
Those are the stakes here.
Not even just the sport as a whole, but for women's sports in general. Because what it comes down to is brands believing in the product and putting up the money the same way that they're putting up money for the men's.
For the men's, yes, exactly. And that is going to, again, have the domino effect of all right, well, if these brands are paying all this money.
Yeah.
And then, it'll go both ways. Because if the league is more visible and more eyes are on these players, and there are more nationally televised games, guess what? Brands are going to pay more for that because that's more exposure for them. And it's a symbiotic relationship that can work very, very well. And Caitlin Clark is the catalyst for a lot of this. Not to say that she's the first person deserving of being this catalyst.
No, she is the first polarizing figure, woman basketball player, that is shifting the culture. She's getting people who didn't watch, I would say maybe didn't even watch basketball, tune in to watch her play.
And you, again, I want to go, there are plenty of exceptional women's players that played before her. And it's just now kind of catching fire.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really glad that there's such a good steward of the game in Caitlin Clark.
You know what I've noticed too? A lot of the playoff NBA sponsored commercials now have the WNBA and
the NBA logo
next to it. I'm
because they're getting on the WNBA train.
This feels like there's movement. All right, guys, thank you so much for spending your Saturday afternoon with Carmi and me. I hope you have a great Saturday and Sunday, and we'll see you all next week.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.